Welcome to the Lagan Valley Vineyard podcast. We are a community passionate about seeing Lagan Valley filled with the presence and the teachings of Jesus. If you would like to connect with us or if we can help you in any way, please visit our website, laganvalleyvineyard.com.
So we have a special guest this morning that I want to introduce you to. We have been friends for, I was thinking about this actually in the 9:30, probably about 13 years or so. Andy and his wife Harmony lead the vineyard in Belfast. They also oversee the region of Ireland and help lead the vineyard movement across the UK. It is true to say that this church wouldn't be what it is without Andy's input and investment. It's also true to say that he's technically kind of my boss. So laugh at the funny parts and look at least a little bit moved at the moving parts, please. Would you welcome Andy as he comes?
I think if I pull that any harder, it'll self-destruct. So we'll just make do with this. It's great to be with you. It is wonderful. Harmony sends her love to you. She couldn't make it this morning. She's doing other things with our community in Belfast, but she sends her love to you. As Andy said, I've been around. I'm old enough to remember when there wasn't a Lagan Valley Vineyard, and I've just watched what God has done in this place, and it has been incredibly special. And I regard this church as a great work of God that is still ongoing, whose best days are to come, and I just wanted to say I'm so proud of you, and it's a privilege to be here today. I wanted to say thank you for being faithful, and I just wanted to say as well, what if we just paused for a moment, and we just thought about what God has done in such a relatively short period of time, and what if you just let some gratitude to God well up in what he's done in providing this space and what he's done in all of you as part of this church family. And as the pandemic has been a really tough time for many, what if gratitude pointed the way to remind us of God's faithfulness, not just to this church, but to you, to your family this morning? He's been good, he's been faithful, and it's good to remember that. And gratitude is actually what I want to talk to you about this morning. But before I do that, I just want to say thank you for being the kind of church that joyfully cares for its pastors and leaders through things like sabbaticals, and many of you know through like kind of your family meetings and all the other ways that information comes out to you from HQ here, that Andy is going to be going on sabbatical for a couple of months. And to me, it's evidence of a mature and secure community, a community that recognizes God's call on its leaders and allows its leaders to serve and lead them well, but isn't so overly reliant on its leaders that they turn it into a cult of personality or superstar celebrity leadership culture. A mature congregation is gathered around Jesus as its chief shepherd and participates in the leadership of the church, not just watching a few people do it. A mature congregation recognizes the need for rest, reflection, and fresh vision for its pastors after years of service and joyfully makes it possible. And a mature congregation knows that this isn't like a reward for good behavior or something like that. It's an investment in ongoing, lifelong ministry. And what God does and is going to do on this sabbatical is going to overflow and touch all of you as Andy returns to lead. So pray for him, knowing that God will use this time to minister, to challenge, to change, and to bless Andy, and that's really good, but that all of us in some way will get the benefit of that as well. And we can't all take a sabbatical, but we can all build in times of retreat and reflection and rhythms and Sabbath into our lives, times of refreshing and fresh vision and hope for us, and I just wanted to challenge you to think that through, even as you provide this blessing to a good, faithful, and special leader and pastor, and that's who Andy is. He's a great blessing to me, he's a great blessing to you, and to this city, and to this island. But would you think about what those rhythms of reflection and rest might look like for you in this next season? Well, back to gratitude. This little talk comes from something I did in my own church a couple of months ago this summer, but the Lord has actually spoken to me a little bit in addition to it that I think is just for you. And so I'll get to that in just a second, but I do want to talk about gratitude. Let me just pray for us really quickly. Lord, we just ask for your blessing here. We thank you so much that this place is family and full of families. We bless your name. We're grateful for this opportunity to be together. Would you speak to us? Would you change us? Would you minister to us in Jesus' name? Amen. Well, if I could sum up what I think is hardest about this pandemic wilderness that we've all found ourselves in, is it's the sheer scale and complexity of grief and loss. And all of us have lost things. Some of us have lost loved ones, and we've had to grieve alone and in very strange circumstances. Some of us have lost jobs, or we are living under the constant threat of, will I have a job this time next year? Some of us were really wise, and we had good plans for our lives, for our families, but we feel like we've lost that, like that just was swept away by the pandemic, and we lost opportunities, we lost moments, we lost hopes. Several of us, if we're honest, really struggled in our faith, or maybe we even would say we've lost our faith amidst the questions and the uncertainty. And for many of us, our church family wasn't able to be what we were used to, and we had to do church in just different ways and different shapes at different times, and it's constantly changing, and it just feels like we've lost what we knew and loved to be our church family. Many of us would say we lost our peace, and we've lost control, or maybe a better way of saying is we've lost the illusion that we actually control things and can control things in our lives. Everyone is processing loss and grieving things. And one of the hallmarks of grief is feeling disorientated and wanting to pull back. And so for today, I want to look at a practice that has really helped me, and that's gratitude. I believe gratitude is an essential practice. I believe it's actually spiritual warfare that allows us to tell the truth about our grief and loss and not pretend like everything is fine all the time and we're not affected by anything. Churches get really weird when you can't tell the truth, right? I think gratitude helps us to tell the truth about grief and loss, but also allows us to not be swallowed up and overwhelmed by grief and loss, and allows us to stay standing in the faith and power of Jesus, to remember that he is powerfully with us, and that we actually do have blessings in the midst of the storms we face. And let's just be honest for a moment this morning. If we just do a smarmy or trite, you know, count your blessings type of thing every once in a while, it isn't very robust, and for cynics like me, it's a waste of time. But if we treat gratitude as a serious thing, as spiritual warfare, as an essential daily discipline, and then actually do it, it will release something powerful in our life. It certainly has in mine. It's something that will continually point us back to Jesus and his goodness to us, and will sustain us through difficulties and sufferings, and will build and form something deep within us that is powerful, that will impact every room that we show up in. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7 says this. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving," or we might say gratitude, "present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And the Apostle Paul, in these short verses, invites us into a lifestyle of gratitude and thanksgiving. It's certainly, the passage certainly blesses us to make our requests, what we need, to God in prayer, but it says do it with thanksgiving, or do it with gratitude, remembering who God is and all that we have in him, which allows us then to enter into the peace of God, which he says guards our hearts and minds. And so can gratitude or thanksgiving really help us to live in this kind of place? Or is this like one of those verses in the Bible that feel like a fairy tale? I think it's possible. I think it's possible through gratitude if we give ourselves to the practice. Gratitude is a response to who God is and all that he's done for us in Jesus. We respond with thanksgiving for creation, salvation, hope, freedom, grace, mercy, and joy, not to mention the things big and small that we need to remember come from God and his goodness. Gratitude and thanksgiving are not just responses, they're choices, they're actions, they're disciplines, a way in which we engage with Jesus in spiritual formation. Gratitude is like a muscle that we exercise that builds things up and forms things in our lives. It affects who we are, who we're becoming, what we bring to each and every situation around us. Gratitude isn't something I just am. I'm grateful once in a while. It's not just that. It's not just something I feel like once in a while. It's a rhythm that we practice, a culture or an atmosphere that we are to cultivate so that we can recognize the abundance that we have in Jesus and everywhere else and not live in a narrative of fear or lack. Well, what does gratitude do? What does gratitude do? I've got a few things on my list. Maybe you've got some things on your list, but here's mine. First thing I have is gratitude keeps us from idolatry. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." Paul, writing to the church in Rome, is saying, on the roadmap to idolatry begins when we lose gratitude or thanksgiving. Gratitude gives us a true perspective about who are we, who is God, and which one should be worshipped. And it allows us to place all of our worship on its rightful destination, not us, not on our idealized fantasy life, but on the true God. Gratitude also focuses us on what we do have and not on what we don't have or what we fear or what we feel like we've lost. I know what it's like at times to feel overcome. I know what it's like to feel tempted to wallow in it and to like rehearse our pain and loss. I know what that's like. And when I lean into gratitude, and I believe when you lean into gratitude, we remember what we do have, and it draws us back to hope and faith and joy, and it feels like our feet get planted on a firm foundation again, and we're able to keep going. Gratitude also kills anxiety and comparison, two great curses on our age today. Gratitude unlocks the ability to honor and celebrate others, and we can rejoice in all things, even others' successes. Even others' successes when I don't feel particularly successful, because I'm practicing rhythms of gratitude. I'm remembering God's goodness to me. I'm remembering God's favor to me. And I'm rehearsing those things instead of rehearsing the ways in which I'm jealous about somebody over here who seems like they got more than me. And anxiety and comparison just get cut off at the knees when we practice gratitude over time. We can enter into other people's joy. Gratitude also helps us be generous. When we build a practice of gratitude, we're constantly reminded that we have enough, and somehow, some way, there will always be enough, and we need not fear lack. And then we're able to give, and we're able to give from the place of peace and rest and reflection. And when we give to others, we release joy unto them, and we release joy unto us, and we get to step into this wonderful cycle of gratitude, freeing us up to be generous, and then generosity releasing joy into the world, but releasing joy back into us. And we have more things then to be grateful for, and it just builds up this wonderful cycle of joy. Gratitude also silences the enemy's voice. Remembering God's goodness in the past is warfare against the enemy's attempts to weaponize our thoughts, our emotions, temptations. You know those kind of thoughts, right? That God is somehow holding out on you. That he shortchanged you. You should walk away from him. There will never be enough. You should fear. You have to do this on your own. You know, all those and more. Gratitude is a weapon of faith. I'm looking back or looking at other areas of my life right now and seeing provision, remembering the goodness of God, recognizing that that is true. And so then that builds faith, and I can step into faith in areas which I currently, I'm just in faith for. I don't quite see a breakthrough yet. But instead of believing the enemy's lies, gratitude floods that space with faith for more. And then lastly on my list, you probably have a longer list, but on my list, it unlocks the present moment to us. When we constantly list what we're grateful for, it keeps us like anchored in the present, where we have enough, and we're not anxious about or focused on the future. We don't have to miss things that are right in front of us because we're worried about the future. We're more and more present with Jesus, with others, with ourselves. We're able to honor who we are and what we feel and experience, but be present with people who need us. Able to love and serve them in more potent and deep ways. We're able to face down the effects of the pandemic. We're able to challenge the narrative of the enemy. We're able to receive unexpected mercy, unforeseen blessings that the Lord has for us in the near future when we practice gratitude. Now, I want to get into the kind of specific thing that I really had for you as a church, and that comes from something that happened in my life a couple weeks ago. And I've been thinking about it ever since, and it was right around the time I was preparing what on earth I would say to all of you. And it goes like this. I was, something happened in our family, and like many families, we were caught up in the transfer test, the AQE thing that happened or didn't happen, I guess. And our daughter had plans and hopes and strong desires for a particular school, and that they were thrown into chaos with the when we couldn't do those tests. It was a stressful time, as many of you. It was probably a stressful time for you or people in your families. And I just want to say right away, these are first world problems. These are nothing in comparison to what's happening in, say, Afghanistan and other difficult places in the world and even in our cities and towns. But they're big deals in the lives of people they're happening to, right? So they're really important in the lives of families. So they're not the be-all and the end-all, but they're really stressful when you're right in the middle of them. It's a big issue for my daughter and for many of you. And in the end, just as it happened, she got what she hoped for and what we prayed long and hard for. And when we got the news, we were so grateful. We had prayed, we'd hoped, we'd trusted, and the Lord blessed her and us. And I know maybe for many of you, you didn't get exactly what your young person wanted, and I just wanted to honor that in the room, that it hasn't turned out perfect for everybody. I just wanted to say that. But anyway, it went okay, and we were just so grateful. And after a time of rejoicing and celebration and gratitude, life moves on, right? That's what happens, right? And until the last few weeks, when it came time for school uniform. Anyone done school uniform time? Harmony took her out to buy everything she need, and I mean everything. And I happened to be doing dishes when they came home. So it's, show us everything you got, and more excitement, stuff like that. And I'm standing there doing the dishes, and I see all these shopping bags and item after item coming out of the shopping bags, and things I didn't even know she needed or even existed, coming out of these shopping bags. And then it culminated with the big reveal, the blazer, the big ticket item, and in my mind, what was happening was a cash register was just ringing things up like, oh boy, oh no, there's more. And, that thing began to happen inside of me. Stress and difficulty and a heaviness and like, oh no. And then my daughter ran off and, Harmony was, she could tell, so she was looking at me nervously like, oh dear, and she was about to say something like, oh no, it was expensive and da, da, da. And I just felt the Lord speak to me really clearly, and it was like a holy moment. I felt the Lord say, don't you dare do this. You prayed for this gift. You were grateful, and you celebrated. You wanted this, and now you don't want to pay the cost. And Harmony was like, I wish it wasn't so expensive, and I managed from somewhere, I'm not quite sure where, must have been the Holy Spirit, to summon some emotional maturity. And I just said, look, I asked for this, I prayed for this, I can't now complain about the cost of it. And it's time to pay. And I've been thinking about that ever since. You know, sometimes, lots of times, things come into our lives and we want them, we've prayed for them, and then they come and we're deeply grateful for them, but there comes a time when the thing we wanted, the thing that's from God, the thing we're grateful for becomes costly and we have to serve and we have to sacrifice. Maybe that for you is in your marriage right now. Maybe that for you is something going on with your kids. Maybe that for you is something happening in work or the business that you're a part of. Maybe that for you is something going on in school that you or your kids are a part of. And we're faced with a choice. Am I going to pay the cost to actually live into it and receive it? Because true gratitude pays the cost with joy. And here's what I felt the Lord speaking to me about for you, and this could be about any church in the Western world, my church, but definitely for you this morning, Lagan Valley Vineyard. This church, as I said earlier, is a great work of God. It's amazing, and I'm sure all of you at some level are grateful for it being in your lives. But every church, including yours, is now at a place of transition due to the pandemic, and my sense for you in this moment, as you move forward, as you emerge into this new shape of church, there will be some cost. It now costs you to be part of church and what God is doing here, and it costs you in a different way than pre-pandemic. It's harder to come. It's harder to serve. It's more of a cost. It's more of a sacrifice. Something was formed in us when we had to be in isolation and mostly online. And I think all of us in every church are now in a place of, are we going to pay the cost of living into and participating in the thing that we are grateful for? A community gathered around Jesus that is seeing his kingdom come in our midst. Will we pay the cost to be a part in gratitude for the home, the family that Jesus has provided for us? It's easier to stay home. It's more convenient not to serve or give or make ourselves available for whatever Jesus asks of us. Here's what I saw as I've been praying for you and all of this. I saw a mature, secure church taking some and many of the deep formation lessons from the pandemic times and then applying them as you face the cost and paying it. And I had a sense that that was going to begin, be like a catalyst to a real powerful season of growth, a time of refreshing in the presence of the Lord and a time of fruitfulness for you as a community. I believe that is what God has for you. That is what I am praying for you. And I would just say, challenge, encourage, whatever you want to say, I would encourage you to pay the cost all over again. You'll never regret it. It will bring you so much joy. It will impact Lisburn and the Lagan Valley and beyond in a powerful way. A legacy lasting generations will be stewarded well. So don't miss this moment as a community. But if I could just distill it down a little bit further, don't miss this opportunity as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. Don't miss your moment. This is our moment. Are we going to follow Jesus in this new way and shape after this global event? Are we going to follow Jesus? Or are we going to let other people do that? And are we going to just not turn up? Don't miss this moment. You will not regret it. Well, how do you just really quickly, practically, I've taught our church, and I've taught myself to do gratitude, because you're like, oh, great, gratitude. How do you actually do that? Well, we just do something really simple in BCV, and I stole it from somebody else, so it's not even mine. We just call it the Gratitude Project, and we just challenge people that every single day list three things that you're grateful for. Keep a record as part of your regular time with Jesus, or just as you consciously have space where you call things to mind and then begin to do warfare against the enemy's voice. Three things. It can be really simple. Like, I had an amazing cup of coffee this morning. I'm so grateful. And that's about the only thing I can find to put on my list today because it's such a day. But I'm going to go for that one, you know. Or the thing I've been praying for a decade happened today and I'm grateful. Big, small, whatever it is, get them on your list. Do three. You can do more. There's no real rules here. But do that every single day. Do warfare against the enemy's voice. Begin to live in gratitude. It will change your life. It will change how you show up to everything. It will be slow and not very noticeable at first. Good news, I know, right? We love that in our culture, right? Slow and not noticeable at first. But you will gain momentum. You will realize its power. And you will begin to see how the Spirit of God is changing you through the spiritual discipline of gratitude. And it will build a momentum that you just can't stop. We've got loads of testimonies in our community, and no doubt you have testimonies yourselves. We had one person who's a teacher, and this practice powerfully changed her life. And then she decided to take it in to her secondary school class, most of whom were hostile towards her and towards Jesus and following Jesus. And she just did it like as a mindfulness exercise. It wasn't about faith. She didn't talk about Jesus. She said, we're just going to do this gratitude project thing. And she saw a radical change in the boys. But one of the boys, who was the most hostile against faith, he was deeply changed by this. And he kind of came back and said, I'm really, really grateful for this. And she's like, oh, wow, that's interesting. And then he went off to university. And lo and behold, he kept doing the gratitude project. And then somehow he got that connected to faith, and somehow he met Jesus. He's had a powerful experience of Jesus. He's given his life to him, and now, a couple years later, he wants to go into full-time Christian ministry. This stuff is potent, and this stuff is powerful. So if you don't want your life to change, don't practice gratitude. As I finish and as the band comes up, what if we face down the effects of the pandemic with the spiritual discipline of gratitude? What if we let our families, our workplaces, our schools, our city out of the pandemic wilderness of grief and loss through gratitude? Just before these guys start, I just had a sense to speak specifically to married couples. And marriage is one of the hardest things you'll ever do. Probably the hardest. Maybe kids is harder. I'm not sure. I go back and forth. And maybe you're experiencing real difficulty and challenge in your marriage right now. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I just had a sense that there's some couples here, it's really, really hard, and maybe you're even on the brink. Counseling is good and wonderful. Do that. But I had a sense that gratitude is a roadway back for you. Practicing what are you grateful for about your spouse is a way, is a bridge towards healing and reconciliation and drawing the combat down and letting things like the annoyance and all that just to dial back. And over the coming weeks, if you lean into gratitude, there's going to be a healing released in your marriages. So if that's you, again, I'm not going to ask you to identify yourself. I'm just going to pray for you. Come, Holy Spirit. Would you restore marriages? Would things we're grateful for about our husbands, our wives, begin to bubble up even now? Would there be a lot more than three per list per day? Would you bring healing to many marriages here? And would this church grow into a church where marriages are healed and saved and are strong and healthy? Come, Holy Spirit.